10 lines down the page. So remember we discussed last time when you commit to a certain amount of money that the girl is bringing into the marriage, right? And they write that up in the ksuba. So they didn't always write it accurately. What would they do sometimes?
They'd write like two, like they'd write like double,
overestimate, yeah. Double, triple, right? Why? It makes you feel good. Look what a rich girl you're getting. She really doesn't even have two nickels to rub together, but it's okay. We'll write that she's a millionaire. And that way, it makes everyone feel good. Everyone gets to marry a rich girl. So, Gavra, da Amr Luhu, a guy was dying, so he told his Yorshim, he told the people who were taking over his estate, normally, who would that be? His sons. So he told them, Havu la arba me'azuzi libarti b'ksubasa. Give 400 zuz. We have to designate 400 zuz that's going to go to my daughter for her ksuba. So what problem did they have now?
It's like the problem of no slufik, kind of. Like, we can't give to the daughters.
No, not that problem. What problem they have? They were designating a certain amount of money. That's going to go to the daughter's ksuba. Everything else,
the Arshim gets...
What?
What's the exact right?
Oh, he said 400 zuz. Is that 400 real zuz
or 400 fake like marriages?
Right, or 400 marriages. Meaning, if the minig in that place was to double it, so does he really mean 200 zuz? Right. Yeah. How much money should we actually designate? So Shalach Rav Acha b'Reid Rav Avya l'Kamed Rav Ashi. Rav Acha b'Reid Rav Avya sent this shaila to Rav Ashi. Arba meya diinun timni meya. What's timni?
200.
Now timni is. 800, right? Timni is 8. It's shmona, because the tough and the shin. So, timni mea? Is it 400, which is really 800? Or arba mea zuze di inun maasan? Or is it 400, which is really 200? Meaning, what we mean to say when we say 400, which is really 800, that he's actually giving 400 zuz, and in which case we write 800 in the ksuba, or is it that he's not actually giving 400 zuz, he just wants that to be the number in the ksuba, which means he's actually giving 200 zuz. So that was the shaila. Some Ravashi chazinan, Ravashi says, it's very simple. You just have to look at what his exact words were. I amar havula arba mea zuzei. If he said, give her 400 zuz, di'inun timni meya, then it means 800. Meaning, then it means that he's really, really giving 400 zuz. So, written up in the ksuba, it's going to say 800. But v'yamar, ksovula arba meya zuz, what does that mean? Write down 400 zuz. What's he saying?
200.
That's the number I wanted. The ksuba is 400, but dinan masan. I'm really actually only giving 200. So it all depends on how he formulates it. If he says, give this amount to her, then that's the real amount. If he says, write this amount, then it's really only half of that. Ikada amri. Second explanation, Amar Ravashi. A second answer to this question, to this shaila, chazinan, you look at something else. Not at whether he said give or write, but you look at something else. I amar liksubasa arba mea zuze. If he said give 400 zuz liksubasa, it's arba mea zuze di inun timni mea. Then it's really, he really, really wants to give 400, and you're going to write 800. But vi amar Bik subasa, not lik subasa, then arba mea zuzi dinun maasan. Then it's 400, which is 200, which means that he's really only giving 200, and what you write in the ksuba is 400. So the Gemara rejects Ravashi. The Gemara says velohi. Ravashi, you are incorrect. One second. Loshna da amar lik subasa, veloshna da amar bik subasa, arba mea zuzi dinun maasan. Adam or Havalastama. Whether he said Liksubasa or Biksubasa, we assume that he's really only giving 200. You write 400 in the Ksuba, unless he says give it to her. If he says give it to her, then you give the full amount. So main point number one, let's write this down, please. Main point number one is that if a dying man says he wants 400 zuz to go to his daughter's Ksuba, so what does it depend on? If he says give her 400, then it's actually 400, and we write 800 in the ksuba. If he says write 400, then it's really 200 that he's giving, and you're going to write 400. You have a question? Not anymore? Okay.
You should repeat the main point again.
Yeah, if a dying man says to give 400 zuz to his daughter for his daughter's ksuba. If he said, give her 400, then she gets the full 400. And we actually write 800. If he says, write 400, then she only gets 200, and we write 400 in the Ksuba. That is point number one. Now the Gemara goes back to discussing guys who are hired to work a field and they don't really do the job. Ha'ugavra, there was a guy, Dekabil Aramichavre, who became a sharecropper in someone else's field. And the sharecropper arrangement is that he works it, and what happens? What happens, Dovi? What happens? He gives a percentage to the owner of the field. So Amar, now he wants to convince the owner of the field that he's really going to do a good job, right? He's looking. He wants to be hired for this job. So what does he do? He makes promises. He says, "Oh, I'm going to be the best sharecropper. I'm going to, you know, produce the best whatever corn, wheat, whatever." Right. So he says as follows: Amar imovarnala yihivnalach alfa zuze. You know, he's afraid that the owner of the field is going to think that he's lazy. So he tries to convince him, I'm not going to be lazy. I'll tell you what. If I leave this field unworked, I will give you 1,000 zuz. I'll write you a check for 1,000 zuz if I don't work this field. So because sometimes, you know, if he has a reputation of being lazy, he's not going to get hired. One of my talmidim came over to me today, told me that he wants to work for one of his professors. One of his professors has a real, you know, has a job outside of school, and he wants to work for him. But he said, like, he didn't know that that's what he would want to do, so he never handed in papers on time, he never showed up to class, and now the professor thinks he's lazy and doesn't do anything. Why? Because he's lazy and doesn't do anything, because the professor's right. So the guy wants to convince you that he's going to do a good job, he's going to work really hard, so he says, if I leave this field unworked, I'll write you a check for 1,000 zuz. So Ovir Tilta, and then what happened? He left one-third of the field unworked, meaning he did some of the work. He worked two-thirds of the field and left the other third of the field unworked. So what would you say? Does he give 1,000 zuz? Does he not give 1,000 zuz? So Amri Nardai, they said in Nardai, Dino Udiyavle, Tlas Meo, Tlasin, Tlas of a Tilta. He should give 333 and a third zuz, because that's how much of the field he left unworked, and that's the deal. Rava Amar, Rava says, nah, it's not the deal. Asmachtahi. This is what we call asmachta. Now, asmachta means two things in Shas. What does it mean over here? An exaggeration. I don't know. I'm not sure what the best way to say it is. Sometimes you say something because you don't think it's actually going to come to it. You say, "Oh yeah, if that happens, then I'll walk from here to Manhattan." You know, like, because you don't think that that's going to happen.
I'll do that when pigs fly. Like one of those.
Right. But you say something that's actually doable. Right. Right? I'll give you $1,000,000. I'll give you $1,000,000 if you do that. Right. So then the first, right, you say, "Oh, if you cut up my jacket into 1,000 pieces and eat the entire thing, I'll give you $1,000,000." Because I don't think that you're going to do that. You're not on for this. I don't think that you're gonna do it. So I'm not really committing to pay the money. You know where asmachta comes up? You know where it comes up most frequently? In the sugya of gambling. Oh, if the Jets win the Super Bowl, I'll give you $1,000,000. Because everyone knows the Jets can't win the Super Bowl.
Is that like the story with the drunk guy in Mordecai Shapiro, if he was gonna?
Not exactly. But okay. So Rava Amar Asmachtihi Vasmachta Lokanya. His commitment wasn't a real commitment. It's what we call Asmachta. He was just saying $1,000 because he thought at that time, you know how lazy people sometimes when they say, "Oh no, I'm gonna be good now. I'm really gonna do it." You know, and it lasts for like 5 minutes, right? So he really, really thought that was gonna be the case. But Asmachta Lokanya, he didn't really think he was ever gonna have to pay $1,000, and therefore it's not a real binding commitment. Ula Rava, but according to Rava, who says that it's asmachta, Maishna Me'adetan, why is that any different than what we said in the Mishnah? The Mishnah said, Imover v'lo evid ashali b'mitvah, that the guy promises that if I don't work the field and I just leave it unworked, I'll pay you the meitav, I'll pay you with great fruits. So says Gemara, there's a big difference. And over there, he has to do it. Even Rava agrees. The Mishnah says he has to do it. Why isn't that asmachta? big difference. Let's say I tell you, if you learn night seder every night, I'll give you $1 million. Versus I tell you, if you learn night seder every night, I will, I'll give you a free copy of my sefer. Right? So which one do you think is a real commitment? Which one do you not think is a
sefer?
It has to do with it, but even more. It's reasonable. I'm not speaking in ridiculous terms. I don't have $1 million. I have way too many copies of my sefer at home. Right? So I'm speaking in reasonable terms. So hasam lo kagazim. You're not exaggerating. Over here, since you're saying something extra, you're saying something that's over the top, it's clearly assumed to be just a guzma. Main point number two. What is it? What? Yeah, but let's include the whole piece, right? A guy commits to pay $1,000 if he doesn't work the field. We have a machlokas whether it's a binding commitment or only an asmachta, because it's so over the top. Right, it's a machlokas. The first day in the Gemara said that if he leaves one third of the field undone, he's got to pay 333 and a third. Right? So we have a machlokas whether it's a binding commitment or whether it's a smachta, because the commitment was so over the top. That is step two. Now, third part of today's Gemara, third and final part of today's Gemara. Hahu Gavra, there was a guy, the Kabel Ara L'Shumshami. He received land to work on. He became a sharecropper on land. And the deal was he was supposed to plant shumshami. What are shumshami? Sesame seeds. Which is a very expensive product, more expensive than wheat, apparently, but it also takes a lot out of the ground, meaning it takes a lot of the nutrients out of the ground and really ruins the ground. So, you know, like, it makes sense, right, that it's going to be more expensive because it's much more wear and tear on the ground that you planted in. So he was supposed to plant the sesame and produce this high-end product that would essentially really devalue the field. But what did he do instead? Zarachiti. What did he do? He planted wheat. A cheaper product, but it leaves the field in better condition. Of the chiti kishum shmi, just his luck, that year, for whatever reason, maybe supply demand, wheat became as expensive as sesame. So now the field was in good shape, and what it produced was as valuable as what it was supposed to, as what he was supposed to do. He produced wheat. So Rav Kahana lemeimar menaki lekach shadeara. So Rav Kahana thought he shouldn't. Let's say the deal was he's supposed to give the owner of the field 40%. Now he should only have to give the owner of the field, let's say, 30%. Why? Why should he be able to deduct? Because the deal was he was supposed to give him 40%. And give back karka that's really devalued, because now the karka's in great shape still, so he should be able to deduct from the percentage of the wheat that he's giving him. That's what Rav Kahana thought. Amrle Ravashi le Rav Kahana. So Ravashi said to Rav Kahana, incorrect. Amri inshi kach sha'ara v'lo likcho shmara. Better that the ground be weakened and not the owner be weakened. Meaning, when the owner of the land hired you to work on his field and you decided that you're going to do your own program, you're going to do different than what he asked you to do, you're always going to come out on the losing end of that. We can't have you come out on the winning end of that. So if the deal was for a certain percentage and you lucked out and what you produced in the field happens to be worth as much as what you were supposed to produce on the field, you still have to commit to that percentage. Another story. Hahu Gavra. There was a guy, the Kabel Ara L'Shumshmi. Again, what was he supposed to do? Sesame seeds. Zarachiti. And again, he planted wheat. And in this case, Avdachiti Tfeim in Shumshmi. The wheat was not only the equal of what sesame seeds was, it was greater, more. Wow. So, Savar Avina Lameimar, Yohiv Le Shvacha De Beni Beni. That the owner of the karka has to give the aris the improvement or the extra, the difference between the value of wheat and the value of sesame seeds. Meaning, if I was supposed to get 40% of $1,000 worth of product, and now you, which is how much? 40% of $1,000 worth of product? $400. Seriously. $400. And now I'm getting 40% of $1,200 worth of product. well, that's not right. I shouldn't get all that extra. I should only get $400 worth of product. So because you planted wheat and it happens to be worth more than sesame, there's no way that I, the owner of the field, should get more for that. What the fact that wheat was worth more than sesame, you think that's all because of the aris? Who produced this wheat? It's a combination. The sharecropper and the field, the ground. Who did the field belong to? The owner. The owner is the one who owned the field. So it's his ground, it's his land. So why shouldn't he get a few extra dollars when the land produces some chitim? So main point number three. If the aris plants
wheat instead of sesame,
meaning a less expensive item, but then it becomes either as expensive or more expensive, the Gemara concludes that the owner gains. The owner wins. The owner of the field wins all of those extra gains.